Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
A woman stays home, feeding the baby, changing the diapers and cleaning the clothes. She can do this with joy because of the Savior. God's will for her now is in front of her nose.
We're going to be talking about vocation and parenting here for the last half hour of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, August the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Oh, I can tell you. I mean, I've been a parent now for going on 18 years, two kids at home. Parental guilt is real. And if it doesn't kick in early, because, of course, you're so giddy for the first couple of years with the kids. I mean, they're new, they're shiny, and they haven't really gotten into any kind of major trouble, and all is well. I mean, it's hard work, don't get me wrong, but there's that honeymoon period. And then pretty soon, you start making some pretty big mistakes as a parent. And then you wonder, you second guess yourself, and pretty soon you're feeling guilty for things that you did or you didn't do. And the Christian literature on this subject doesn't make it any easier. It just piles on more rules, regulations, do's and don'ts. And one would think that if you scan the entirety of God's word, you'd find nary a word of comfort for parents. It's merely, do it, you better do it well, otherwise you ruin your children. Oh, they'll say, God's there to help you. But that's kind of generic advice, a generic comfort, isn't it? We're going to talk about the Christian teaching of vocation, especially for parents. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., mother of two, I believe. I'll call her a new mother of two. She's contributor to GetReligion.org. She writes a regular column for Christianity Today magazine called Throwing Inkwells. Her latest column is titled White Flag in the Mommy Wars, the Theology That Many Parents Are Missing. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, your kids are not that old. I think your oldest is just two. Any maternal guilt yet?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that you said there's a honeymoon period, because I don't think I experienced that honeymoon period. They're pretty much from the moment they're on the scene, there's guilt going around constantly about how well you're feeding. And I mean, I was worried about nutrition for my children. I'm my oldest just turned two this week, and I spend a good portion of each week worrying about their education and how I've failed them in their education. My youngest is only 3 months old, so I'm probably over-worrying here about some of these things.
And you write in your column in Christianity Today that the kind of intra-mommy conversation, I'm not privy to this, but the intra-mommy conversation of 21st century new mothers can be pretty brutal, too. Tell us about it.
Well, it's amazing, and I don't know. I mean, there are so many factors that probably led it to become such a vicious battle. But there are these mommy wars where women are constantly fighting with each other over whether you should work outside of the home, whether you need to stay at home, should you be breastfeeding, should you be nursing, or should you be using formula, what kind of formula, what are the chemicals that are in your children's toys and bottles, and what kind of schooling decisions you make, and everything is turned into this major guilt-inducing decision, and it makes it that you can barely make even the most minor parenting decision without being ravaged by guilt.
Does Christian literature make it any easier for the Christian mother or father?
Well, one of the major problems with a lot of Christian literature would be that it focuses on the law aspect. Here's what you need to do, here's what you have to do, and it rarely talks about forgiveness and the forgiveness that we all have, because we all fail as parents. All of us who are parents will fail as parents. We need to know that we're forgiven. But the other thing is there's just sort of a mess up in terms of how they frame what parenting is. And so that's one of the things I talked about in my column, was to look at it vocationally.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of people think of the term There's some different understandings of the term vocation. A lot of people think of it as what your occupation is, or the Roman Catholic Church might speak of vocation, limiting it more to those people who work in the clergy. But Luther talked about vocation, and it's just every Christian's calling to particular offices, whatever that office might be. And it's the means by which God works through us to serve each other. So the way that God takes care of babies is through their parents. And the way that God takes care of sick people is through doctors. And the way that God feeds us is through, you know, the bread maker. And, you know, every single thing, you know, it's the station that you have in life and the way that you serve your neighbor.
How does that help to know this? This is a station that God has assigned you in life, and that this is where he wants you to be. I mean, other than kind of comforting the mother that she maybe shouldn't be, you know, out pursuing a 60-hour work week when she's got kids at home, if she doesn't have to. How does this comfort us?
It's you know, looking through this framework, it can kind of help you make your decisions. So, for instance, beginning with, you know, the moment you get pregnant, you realize that you've been given this vocation of motherhood. And that means that, you know, prior to becoming pregnant, you weren't a mother. Now you are a mother, and your job is to serve this child by taking care of this child. It can guide you in how you, you know, how you go through your pregnancy, so that you, you know, let's say you were smoking beforehand, and now you know that that's not a good thing to do for your child, because it would harm your child. You know that if your job as a mother is to feed your children, it gives you some freedom in how you do that. You know that you have to feed your child, but how you choose to do that is sort of up to you. You can order out for pizza, or you can slave over a hot stove for 5 hours. It's just the way that you have to make that decision based on everything else that's going on in your life. But it just kind of crystallizes and focuses what your job is as it relates to the child.
But helping kids with homework, this is the Wilkin routine at night. It's homework at night, and sometimes it's a lot of homework. And this is not pleasant time, right? There's when you got kids your age, changing diapers, driving the kids this way and that. This is so ordinary. This is so mundane. It doesn't sound like service to God or neighbor.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to get caught in thinking that way. One of the things that I thought was interesting as I was researching this article is I was reading something 500 years old written by Martin Luther, and it sounded like it was written yesterday. He's talking about the drudgery of housework and how we can think of how difficult and overwhelming these jobs are. And Luther writes, and I think it's interesting, by the way, that he does not write about the drudgery of being a mother, but he says that fathers should not complain when they have to stay up all night rocking a baby, changing his diaper, soothing him and his cries, caring for the baby's mother, etc. But instead, they should view each act they're doing as a holy blessing. It's, if you view it as, you know, God has chosen you to change this baby's diaper, to take care of this diaper, rather than it being just the most horrible work out there and turning it into a way that we serve God by serving our neighbor or our children, we should view it as a holy blessing.
Let's talk about, now this is something I have, I tend in my younger days to run with the pastor crowd because that's my, you know, primary vocation. And as we all coming up out of the seminary started having kids, I noticed it and I suffered from it myself. Kind of this, I've got a brand new car and I'm never going to get a scratch on it. I'm going to change the oil every single, you know, month, and this thing is going to run beautifully and stay in pristine condition with respect to our kids. The perfect child syndrome. And then the kid gets a scratch and a dent. And you realize you've ruined your kid, more or less. I mean, you've made enough mistakes that were it not for God's grace, you'd be ruining your kids. Sooner or later, the illusion falls away. How do we avoid this? I've got these children and they're going to turn out perfect.
Well, I would think that was probably a really bad starting point to think, given what we know about human history, that there would ever be perfect parenting out there. But this is why it's so important for, you know, one of the vocations that we have is being a Christian and serving God by, you know, just being parishioners of our church, and there we receive the forgiveness of sins that is, that, you know, any parent knows you have to ask forgiveness regularly for the ways that you're not perfectly parenting. But we also know that God has placed us as the parents of these children, and, you know, and that, we have a lot of freedom there also.
Does that help at 2 o'clock in the morning when you are changing the diaper or walking the floor with the kid that's crying?
You know, I'm not as experienced of a parent as you are, but ever since I've been reading some of these vocational writings about what a holy blessing it is to change diapers, it's almost become a joke in our house that whoever's changing the diaper gets to partake in the holy blessing of changing the diapers. And it does somewhat help, although, you know, there are also such extreme situations, too. I've been blessed with two of the easiest children I've ever heard of, and I think it's, you know, particularly important when you're thinking about parents who have children with special needs, where the crying never ends, you know, a colicky child or a child with, you know, ADD or ADHD and all the struggles that you have and the hopes and the desires. And I think that other Christians can, that Christians can support parents of children with special needs, or just in special circumstances or difficult times. And you can support this vocation of parenting by, you know, helping out, offering words of encouragement, and helping remind parents that they've been given this holy calling.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway about vocation and parenting. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, August the 28th. Moms and dads, I want to hear from you. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter questions or comments to us on the subject of vocation and parenting. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is with us for another 10 minutes. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc, @issuesetc. When we come back, how can a Christian congregation also help support parents at whatever age they're parenting their kids in carrying out this godly vocation? In an age when we're told that we've got to do it just right, the right preschools, the right education, all of those things, otherwise the future generation is at risk, there's a lot of comfort in the scripture teaching of vocation. We'll be right back.
So say you have. It's getting so hard.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. Issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance. Not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning. Cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup hole if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. We're on the subject of vocation and parenting Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Congratulations to Sally Martini in Germantown, Maryland. She's the winner of the $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Thanks to everybody who participated in promoting the Issues Etc. YouTube video this last month. Molly, let's talk about the degree. Well, let's talk about one, I think, what God's main purposes for, not for the children in the parent-child relationship, but for the parent in the parent-child relationship. That is humility. He teaches humility through this. Talk about it, if you would.
You think parenting is humbling?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Don't you find it that way?
I haven't really gotten about it being anything other than a most humbling experience. But, it's in the same way that marriage is. It humbles to learn about this web of relationships by which we serve each other, serve God and serving each other. And it forces you, being a parent forces you finally to not make yourself be the center of your life. And that is a wonderful spiritual discipline. And as almost any parent will tell you, it's such a wonderful blessing to learn how to serve each other, to serve someone else completely. And I think it's interesting that it starts out, for most people at least, with an infant. Most parenting relationships start out with a newborn, obviously. There are exceptions to this if there's a later adoption or whatnot. And at that point, there is literally nothing that that baby is doing. It's almost an entirely one-way street. You know, once kids are older, they can at least help out with, say, doing some dishes or something like that. But with a newborn, they are completely reliant on their parents, and particularly their mother, for every single last one of their needs. And I think it teaches us a lot about God's relationship with His children. And it's just a beautiful thing to witness.
I've felt this as a father, but I'm sure mothers probably feel it even more intensely, because mothers are in the limelight when it comes to parenting, in society's view at least. And that is the worry about what other people are going to think about what kind of parent you are. I'm sure that the mommy wars are full of this.
Yeah, that's one of the most amazing things. I mentioned in my column for Christianity Today that I'm part of this listserv for parents in my neighborhood, which is Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And there are thousands of mostly women, some men, some grandparents, some other caregivers on this list. And the fights that are, it's a wonderful list and it's a wonderful resource, but people get really engaged in these pretty serious fights about education and, public schools versus homeschooling versus charter schools versus private schools. Should you raise your kids in the city? Should you raise your kids in the suburbs? And it is incredibly vicious. It's designed to do nothing other than produce guilt, I think. And of course, it comes from a great place. People care about their children and they care about children in general. And they, it's intended to sort of make society better, but I don't think they get that the net result is to make people feel incredibly guilty about the choices they're making as parents.
So, does this also happen in the Christian congregation, where we ought to be doing our best to encourage people in their vocation? You show up at church, and if you're like me, Molly, you are worried when you get the family together that we all put on the best face, and we don't give anyone occasion to think any less of us as parents or as a family.
Right, and it does seem that there's this belief, too, that there's a correlation between the quality of parenting and the quality of the children that are produced. But it's not a direct correlation, and it doesn't always work out. You can be an excellent parent and have a child that fails to receive that good parenting. And we can be very judgmental as Christians and think that we think that there must be some sort of unforgivable flaw in the parenting that we see in other people. And of course, if we were to be honest, we would know that it's just by the grace of God that our own children have survived, horrible accidents or, our own bad parenting problems. And we live as if we're not forgiven people. And it's happens just as much in church as it does in the greater society, probably.
What can a Christian congregation do for parents to encourage them in this, not only in this vocation, but also in the freedom that this vocation brings to them?
I think there are many things. I think, for one thing, teaching about vocation, teaching what the Word of God has to say about vocation is very important. Teaching that parenthood is a noble vocation and a holy vocation, and placing value on that is of primary importance. I think right in hand with that, making sure that that churches are constantly aware of the need for forgiveness that each and every parent has, and providing that forgiveness of sins, preaching it in the Word and administering it in the sacraments is also key. But you know, even just more generally, I think we need to understand that each parent is free to parent however they want, so long as they are not sinning. You know, we might have very strongly held ideas about what form of education is the best, or even what disciplining style is the best. But we go beyond what the Word of God has to say sometimes in deciding that, you know, one style or another is better. And we have to be careful to not add to Scripture beyond what is there.
See, I think that for all the good that kind of the Christian parenting industry, I mean, if you think about Focus on the Family and all those long-lived parachurch organizations have, one of the things it's done is kind of said, there is one way to Christian parent, and it's kind of James Dobson's way, or whoever the teacher may be, and this is the way it is.
Right, and as anybody who's been a parent to more than one child knows, not even two children with the same genes and the same upbringing are going to have the same disciplining needs or the same... You know, things can be radically different from the get-go, and so it's important that we, not that there aren't helpful resources from some of these groups, but that we understand from where the responsibility comes. Again, the vocation that we've been given by God to take care of these kids, and also the freedom that we have to do as we see best. I mean, we are the people closest to these children, and you know, we have some freedom here in how we go about doing things.
I hope I don't tread into sensitive territory here, but does this also include the in-laws as well? Because often the in-laws have a lot to say about how their kids and their kids' in-law parent their grandchildren.
Well, I don't know. I'm blessed with wonderful in-laws, and my husband is also blessed with wonderful in-laws. And I think the key thing in that relationship is that, you know, God has given my husband and I the vocation of parenting. And while my husband and my parents are also involved in the general, you know, they're there to support our vocation. They don't also have the vocation of parenting our children. They're there to support. I would like to say that I'm glad that I was prepared for this by being the last one of my siblings to have children, because I saw how my wonderful parents completely undermined my brother and sister's nutritional guidelines for their children, which I've learned is what grandparents are supposed to do. So I would hear my sister and brother, you know, say that, oh, the kids aren't supposed to have candy or too much candy or too much ice cream. And then I would witness my parents whisk those kids away and then just stuff them full of ice cream and candy. It was their secret method to make sure that they were loved as grandparents. So I was fully prepared for the undermining that goes on when grandparents get a hold of these children. But
it's also called payback too. So finally, as a parent, what is the comfort of understanding the biblical teaching of God's station, God's vocation to which he calls us fathers and mothers? About 30 seconds, Molly.
The comfort is knowing that God has placed us in this position. God has given us this vocation of parenting. He has put us in this place to take care of these people. This is how we serve him. And so long as we are not sinning and we are free to raise those children however we see fit.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a journalist in Washington, D.C., a contributor to GetReligion.org. She writes a regular column for Christianity Today magazine called Throwing Inkwells. Her latest column is titled White Flag in the Mommy Wars, the Theology that Many Parents Are Missing. Check out her columns for Christianity Today. And Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the historical critical method of interpreting Scripture. It's usually better known as kind of the low view of Scripture, saying, well, parts of the Bible are true, but other parts are gainsaid by history or reason or science or philosophy. We'll talk about the historical critical method, the low view of Scripture, with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery Monday on the program. humbling to the point of confessing one's sin. Dr. Gene Edward Veith often points out that if you want to know where you commit your sins, look first to your vocation. That's where you sin before God and your neighbor, in those vocations to which God has called you. And as a parent, I can tell you, that's where my confession of sins begins. It begins right there with me as father, my wife as mother, and the mistakes, not just mistakes, but the sins we have committed as parents in those vocations. Of course, it spreads out from there. The comfort of knowing that this is a vocation bounded by, bordered by, immersed in the mercy of Christ. That the freedom comes not so much from not having to worry about what other people think about your parenting skills or your parenting style. But the freedom comes from knowing that before God, you are forgiven for Christ's sake. As lousy a parent as you or I may be, Christ's blood atones even for that too. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.